festival of some tree benign. So it'll cool off in 3 more months. Yeah, it was a little tough driving back down the hill yesterday, knowing what was waiting on me. When I got to my house, I was like, wow. But thankfully, Jennifer went by and turned my air down for me. And anyway, I don't know about you guys, I cannot stand to run my air when I'm on the road. At my house in the desert, I just kind of like, I just cannot do that. But anyway, I shared with you guys last week about how we need to have devotions to the Lord, devotions to the Word, devotions to prayer, be devoted to worship, amen, to be devoted to one another, and be devoted to gathering together, and all those devotions you see that the early church had, and as we all talk about, oh, for the day of the power like they had, and I'm like, well, we need to have the same devotions they had, amen, to everything, and but also, as I said to you, they were also very, very devoted to the harvest, reaching people for the Lord, amen. And that devotion carried them forward. They believed the Great Commission really was a real commissioning by Jesus. Amen? And therefore they went into places and took the gospel. And so as I was meditating on that this week and praying about what the Lord would want me to share with you guys this morning, I know these devotions will lead to life abundant. If you don't have these in your life, that could be the reason why you're not really getting life abundant flowing in your life. And that was the crux of my message last week. But with these devotions, here's the part I want to warn you about. How many of you know we always got to guard ourselves against becoming legalistic about something? Yeah. And it's easy to do, isn't it? Just like, for example, what we were talking earlier about, you know, exercise and stuff. There's things we do, and even in our spiritual devotions and our dedication and our discipline, let's not allow it to become legalistic, because what happens is now it's not worship anymore. We're just doing something or just performing something. And I believe that's something we need to watch against, and the legalism that comes with that. Because can I tell you, life is only possible if you're in relationship with He who gives life. Amen? There has to be the reality of that in our hearts and lives. So I'm going to begin today with a very, very familiar story. The story of the prodigal son, or the lost son. Okay? And I want you to turn there with me. I want us to read it because it's good just to be reminded of a couple of things. And I want to share my heart with you for a few minutes this morning regarding this. So go with me to Luke 15 and verse number 11. Luke 15, beginning with verse number 11. And Jesus said, a man had two sons. Everybody say, two sons. Very important. What were they? Were they slaves? No. They were sons. Everybody say sons. Now, before, also, as I move on through this message today, all you ladies, in the kingdom of God, we're all sons of God, okay? In the kingdom of God, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female. We get hung up on this. I don't want you to get hung up on this. But whenever I refer to sons, I'm referring to all children of God. Fair enough? Everybody got that? Okay, now, let's keep reading. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, and he went on a journey into a distant country. How many of you know you got to be aware of your journeys? Believe me, he didn't go and say, I'm just going to go out there and lose everything. That's not why he did that. Whatever was driving him to pull away from his father and to go out into the world was not for loss, even though we all know that's what happened. So I'm going to say that first of all, if you're a child of God, and I believe God is saying that today at the end of the worship. If you're a child of God, you do need to be following God and not taking your own journeys. Amen. Hello? Yes. Hello? Let's take the God journey. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred. We would call that in our day a severe economic downturn or a recession, right? That's what we would call it. There was a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, how many of you are glad to come to your senses from time to time? Amen? He came to his senses. We all need that. Amen? I like to say he got woke. Amen? Hallelujah. He came to his senses and he said, now look what he said. How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as what? As one of your hired men. Amen? So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and what? And felt compassion for him. Don't you love that part? Amen? And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He obviously had been rehearsing that. Amen? But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put on a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. I mean, I love it. He had a barbecue. Amen? For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to what? What did I say it? Celebrate. Hallelujah. There's always the rest of the story. Keep reading. Verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. How many of us love the father? Amen. And he became angry. This is the older brother. He became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look. Now look what he says, everybody. For so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. I know it probably wasn't true. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, notice he didn't say my brother. Y'all get this? He said, this son of yours, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me. Everybody say this with me. And all that is mine is yours. Say that again. And all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and to rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead, and he has begun to live. He was lost and has been found. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now today to please breathe upon our hearts the truth of what our Lord was conveying in this message. Lord, I pray today we will awaken and come to our senses as children of God, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen. Amen. Now, this parable is so loved, I believe, because it's filled with hope, is it not? It's filled with grace. It's filled with, no matter how bad things get for me, it's filled with the hope that I know I can come home to Daddy. Amen? And I love that. I don't know about you. It's a powerful thing. But can I tell you, it's actually deeper than that, because it's the truth of the kingdom of a restoration of sonship. It's not just that you get to come back and try this again. It wasn't that at all, because it was a dramatic thing the father did. Are you with me? I heard Randy Clark, the healing evangelist and teacher lately, recently say, he has a message about this. He said, so many times the enemy convinces us to come back and live in the bunkhouse with the servants, with the hired hands. Amen? And he said, but yet you're a son. And so, how many know, from the minute he said that, when he was in that pigsty, and he said it again in front of, to his father, the enemy had already lied to him that he could not come back to sonship. And so we've got to grasp hold of this. This is very, very important, okay? Because remember what he did? He put a robe on him, right? He put a ring, which would be like the family ring, the signet ring of authority. He put shoes on his feet, which is very symbolic to us of reestablishing his purpose. Amen? He didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, you give me about 20 years out in the fields, and I might consider looking at you as a son again. I mean, that's the way man would treat. But that's not at the heart of our father. Amen? Amen? Are y'all receiving this already? This is good now. I want you to stay tuned now. That's why we love this parable. We have a good, good father. Hallelujah. And I knew that long before that song was written. We have a good, good father. What does Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father. Now this is important. I want you to hear this. Holy Spirit said this to me. My people need to get an upgrade.
There you go.
Because they're not living as children of the Father. They're living as servants of God. I'm not saying the Father's not God. But how you live before Him will determine what you get to walk in. Amen? It's very important for us to get this. And I know I've said this to you a lot lately, that Paul said, I know Him in whom I have believed. Amen? And I could ask all of you, I know 99% of you here today, and I know all of you are believers, and you believe, amen? But knowing Him's better than just believing. I mean, it's to know God, to have a relationship with God. You know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week in my hotel room. He said, the way to know Him, you can't know Him unless you know Him as Father. Because that type of intimacy requires you to know Him as Father. Y'all still there? Really important we get this. And I believe the Lord is also reminding me of it. How many of you know, sometimes how many of you felt like you were really in that intimacy with the Father, and then through circumstances and your own issues, you feel kind of aloof from Him? It's not that He's aloof from you. You know that, but that's not His heart. And yet, at the same time, we kind of feel like, well, there's still some distance there. Mainly because most of us experienced this in the natural with our parents. Right? We didn't always have this unconditional acceptance back in. I mean, sometimes there was a price to pay to get back into their presence and their good graces again, so to speak. And I heard the Lord say to me, get this, I don't want you to know me as a father, but as your father.
Amen.
Because we'll say father religiously, right? We'll pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Amen? And so we start to understand He's not just a father, He's your father. He's my father. He's our father. Amen? Hallelujah. The new covenant relationship that we're to have with the Father and with Jesus, the Son, is an amazing relationship. It's really off the hook when you read the Bible and really start to see what the Lord said and what the apostles conveyed to us in the letters. Here's the thing. We can't bear fruit if our relationship is not as child to father. We really can't be fruitful. Because see, here's the thing. Many believers serve the Lord in a slave-servant relationship and not a son. Here's the term. Now, the word servants are through the Scripture. Don't get me wrong. It's all through the Scriptures. But the phrases that the apostles would use would be like, I am a bond servant. A bond servant would be one who has been enslaved and been given the choice to be free, but he chose by his bond and his oath and his loyalty to serve. Does this make sense? So to be a bond servant meant that out of love and worship and honor for who God is in my life, I'm going to serve Him. But here's where you get in trouble if you don't do it in that way, is you will serve to get grace instead of serve because of grace. Hello? Hello? And we all get caught in it. It's called religion. It's called performance. You know, I'll be honest with you. How many of you, let's be honest. After you've prayed and fasted and sought God, you feel closer to God. But sometimes we feel closer because we feel better about ourselves. Because I just went without something for 40 days or whatever. For some of us, 40 minutes. But you know, we feel like we sacrifice to get closer to God. And you, there's nothing in the Bible that says that's how you get closer to Him. In fact, we were warned to be careful that we didn't do it in an unrighteous way. Amen? Y'all still there? Okay. The stone's okay? How'd I do? No Spanish accent there, but I try. Go meet at John 15. Let's go. I got a few things I want to share with you. And we're going to pray. And I believe the Holy Spirit's getting ready to do something real special in our hearts. Are y'all ready? Okay. John 15, verse 15. Jesus said, no longer do I call you slaves. Look what he said. He used the word slave. I mean, a slave would be a servant that just does what he's told. Here's the thing about a slave that's just doing what he's told. He's strictly doing it because he has to. Amen? And he's also doing it, he's clueless of why he's doing it. Look what Jesus said. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. Y'all see that? If you don't know what God's doing, it may be because you're living like a slave instead of like a son. I'm sorry, that's the word of God. I'm actually not sorry. We need to hear this, amen? But look what Jesus says. I called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, the name of the Son, he may give to you. Amen? Beloved, we're not merely servants. Hello? We're children of God. Who serve God, yes. Amen? But through the new birth, I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. David, who was a man after God's own heart, who loved God long before he was ever recognized as king. In fact, when Samuel came to anoint him as king, his father in the natural, Jesse, brought all the boys up before Samuel except David. And finally, Samuel goes, are there any more sons? Because these guys ain't it. It's what they're not. Because God what looks at the heart. Man looks at different ways. We look at talent. We look at stature. We look at whether somebody's handsome or beautiful. We look at a lot of things. But God looks at the heart. Hallelujah. Come on. I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. And David later wrote in one of his songs, I forgot to look it up, but he wrote in one of his songs, he said, though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord, what did I say, the Lord will take me up. The meaning there really is adoption. Even if I feel like I've been discarded by those who should have been taking care of me, the Lord's got me. Amen? The Lord's got my back. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? David got a revelation that in the natural and the spiritual realm of the beauty of God. Hallelujah. Man, I love it. Man, I taught on Thursday night. What was it, Thursday night? Thursday night, I preached on David and Goliath. I mean, come on, I've been hearing about David and Goliath since I was a kid. But I tell you what, God put anointing on me for that. And I'm telling you, when you look at that life of David, you understand something. He knew who his father was. Amen? He knew it. And once again, the pathway didn't seem like that would be the way you would get anointed king and then go back to messing with sheep. That's exactly what he did. And he continued to write love songs to God, and we still sing them to this day. Amen? All right, now look at Psalm 68 quickly. Psalm 68, look at verse 5. What does it say? Say it out loud with me, the first two words. A father. Let us say it again. A father of the fatherless, hallelujah, and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely, amen? He leads out prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. He's our father, and Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. How many know there's an orphan spirit in the church? There's an orphan spirit. And that orphan spirit will make us feel like we're just trying to find a way to plow through this until Jesus comes. And Jesus is coming, and he will get you through, and we are sojourning, but you're not orphans. Because if you live as orphans, you won't be able to do your sojourning and make it to your purpose in God. Amen? We got to be careful we don't lump everything in the same phrase or verse. So what God is saying here, and if you and I reject our sonship rights, then we're living in rebellion. We're dwelling in a parched place that God never intended, because he is a father to the fatherless. Amen? That's who he is. And Jesus said again, I will not leave you. And he said this. What was he talking about? I will come to you in the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter. I will come to you. And get this. He goes on to say, and the Father and I, the Father and the Son, will dwell in your heart. We will make your heart our abode. Isn't that powerful? By the Holy Spirit, actually, our heart becomes God's home. Amen? And Papa's close by. Hallelujah. Because he's right within you. Amen? By the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. You know, many times, I believe because of disappointments, because of our failures and our missteps, the enemy tries to get us to distance ourselves from this relationship, this intimacy with the Father. He tries again to make us think, you know, you just need to grovel for a while. Don't you love in that story when that young man repented in his heart, he came to his senses, he came back home, even though he didn't have it fully figured out how it was going to work. Don't you love the fact that the Father was already looking for him? And he ran to him. He didn't say, but I'll just wait and see what he's like when he gets here. He ran to meet him and kissed him. Before anything was said, the Father's love was poured out to him. And even when he protested, I'll just be a hired hand. I'll just be a slave. And if I didn't even respond to that, he would have said, get this filthy robe off of him and put the robe of righteousness on him. Isn't that the grace of God? In a moment, the grace of God can change everything. In a moment. Hallelujah. That's what happened to me. Man, in a moment, I changed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'll be honest with you. We should so have a relationship with the Father and relate to one another, frankly, as siblings in the Spirit, with such love that being in the Father's house is the only thing we want to do. Amen? Whether it be in a small group or a large group, just to be together. Amen? Oh.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
But here's the thing. The devil lies to us and says, just be satisfied to just live in the bunkhouse. Just live in the slave quarters. Right? Because you're never going to be able to be a son again. You blew it. Well, then where's grace in that? Amen? And so the enemy does that a lot of times to Christians. To born-again Christians. I said, brother, you just don't know what I've done. I've heard that so much it makes me cry. I've heard saints tell me that. I've heard children tell me that. I've heard teenagers tell me that. I've heard all people that live their whole life as a Christian and cry at the altar in my face and say, you just don't know what I've done. I can't walk that way with God. And they've been lied to by the enemy. Amen? And we got to expose that. Amen? The heart of God, the Father. He's calling us into his living room. Amen? Amen? And it's only by his blood, and only by the grace of God that we can become children of God. But you were redeemed for sonship. Amen? Now go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 verse 11. Hallelujah. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. Now stop for just a moment. Who sanctifies us? Jesus. Amen? Everybody with me? So he who sanctifies, Jesus, and all of us that have been sanctified by Jesus are what? What does it say? We're from one Father, the Father. Amen? Y'all see that? The power of that. I don't know if we get it. Even this week I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you don't get that. We're from one Father, for which reason he, Jesus, get this, is not ashamed to call us his brethren. His brothers and sisters. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And he even says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation, the family. In the midst of the family, I, the Son of God, will come among the sons of God, and I'll proclaim the name of God. Hallelujah. He's not ashamed of you either. He paid for you so that he wouldn't have to look upon you with shame. Amen. Y'all still there? Jesus, the Son of God, this is a seal moment. Jesus, the Son of God, is not ashamed of you.
Ponder that.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And he goes on that verse to quote from Isaiah 8:18, where it says, I and the children whom the Lord has given to me are for signs and wonders. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Could it be that's why we don't see the signs and wonders that the early church had? But I'll tell you what, they understood who they were and who they belonged to. Amen? They understood the power of redemption. Glory be to God. Now, so I just want to challenge everyone, whether you listen to the recording or listen to me today, here live, let's come out of the slave quarters. Amen? Let's get out of the bunkhouse and get over into the living room with God. Amen? Where you belong as a child of God. You know, the Father's house, I believe, is full of, to be a wonderful place, of love and joy. How about laughter? Amen? Safety, peace, light, protection. How about provision? Amen? Come on. Not all of us have great earthly fathers. Some of us have some we would consider great, some we might consider, well, in a pretty questionable look. But you know, the bottom line is, we always knew that's where the buck stopped. If you wanted to get some money for the car or whatever, you went to dad, right? You know what I'm saying? You kind of knew that. But can I tell you something? There's no place like home. How many know that? We kind of know that in the natural in most situations, but there's no place like home. And there's a comfort we should have that would change the way we relate to God and how we relate to him. We got to come to him as children. How many know there's some pretty embarrassing statements made in the Gospels from these guys that were getting ready to be truly brethren once they were born again? The disciples. Now, they couldn't be born again because Jesus hadn't sacrificed for them yet. But we know they totally changed after the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, right? They totally changed after the redemption had been made, the blood had bought them. They were totally different guys. But in the meantime, boy, they were squabbling like some of us with our siblings. And they were looking for, it was a power play for position. Let me take you to one account here, but I tell you guys, it so connects to what I felt like the Lord was saying. How many know, you've been around people, even in the body of Christ, that are jockeying for position. Amen? Look at Matthew 18, verse 1. Look there with me. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, get this, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I don't know about you, but if you have a revelation of Jesus, you shouldn't have to ask that question. Hello? Jesus is, amen? Come on. And he called a child to himself. Everybody say a child. He set him before them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted, or you could say be born again, unless you're born again and redeemed, and become like children. So that speaks of the new birth. You're starting over. Amen? You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, how many of you know Jesus is not saying we should be childish? But he is saying in our faith we ought to be childlike. Because have you ever seen a kid that really loves their daddy and their daddy's been good to them? And again, I know we could all go to extreme cases where we would say, well, I didn't have that. But the bottom line is we've seen it. And I'm telling you, when anybody's under a good father, they don't have a fear to approach their father. And in fact, they have a faith. And if daddy promised we were going to get ice cream after church, your child will remind you that you promised ice cream. That's a boldness, amen? It's a confidence, amen? Ricky would remind me of things I don't ever remember promising him. Did I really tell you we would do that? And Susan goes, you did. I go, okay, give me my wallet. You know, everybody with me? Are you with me? Come on. Now don't get upset with me. Jesus used these examples. Did he not? A child has a boldness. He said, well, God promised it. Daddy promised it. Amen? Papa promised it. And Papa's good. And Papa's loaded. Come on! The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And he loves to take care of his children. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. We can't enter the kingdom if we don't become like children in our faith. Amen? He wants us to believe him. He actually wants you to stand on his word. He actually wants you to take one of those yes promises and say amen to it. Amen? Sounds like to talk people into believing. You know what I'm saying? So, do I really have to preach a sermon to you before I pray for you to get healed? Something he's already given you? Amen? Yes, do we serve the Lord? Absolutely. As bondservants, as lovers of God. Amen? Who honor and respect him and are in awe of him. Absolutely. We worship him as lovers. We were praying today before the service, oh Lord, return your awe, A-W-E, your awe to the house of God. Again, amen? You haven't changed the fact. As good as a daddy can be, when he walks in the house, he's daddy. And you better get out of his chair. That's right. Amen? That's daddy's chair. Don't sit there. Y'all with me? We start to understand something what God wants us to know. Everybody cool? Yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. When we are sons and we receive sonship, if we don't receive this, we could be clueless. We won't know what Papa's doing. That's what Jesus said. Slaves don't know what the master's doing. But sons know what Papa's doing. Amen? What Abba's doing. And that's the way we're supposed to live with God. Don't let religion enslave you again. And that's why Hebrews was written. Many, many, many of the Jewish believers, the Hebrews, were going back to their religious ways. And he said, you're trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus. God didn't come to set back up a hierarchy of religion in your life. He came to have a relationship with you as your heavenly Father. Amen? That's basically what Hebrews is about. And the power of the blood and the power of the redemptive power of Jesus. Now go with me to Romans 8. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery. Notice this. leading to what? Fear again. But you've received what? What's the opposite? And so if you're not under the spirit of adoption, you're not walking with him as your father, then guess what? You're in slavery to a different type of lifestyle that's not what God intended. A spirit of adoption as what? Come on. As sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba is not one we would use in our context. Right? It's not part of our vernacular. But the meaning in that context would have been to say something like literally daddy or papa. It was very intimate. Like I wouldn't run up to my dad and go, Father, can I have the keys to the car? You know, I wouldn't, you know, but I called him dad or daddy. I love papa now because that's what my grandchildren call me, so I love papa. There's something about papa. Are y'all with me? On the Navajo, it's Che, right? So, Che? Okay. Che means you're trying to get Che's attention. So you say it again. All right. Yeah. What? What is it? Papi. Papi. Papa. Potato? Papa's potato? Oh, wow. Maybe that's what my grandchildren say, Papa, they're looking at my belly. I don't know. Okie dokie. Thank you, Pastor Omar, for sharing that. And I appreciate the edifying moment I just had. The Spirit Himself testifies. Get this. With our spirit. What does He testify? Read it. What does He testify to your spirit? That you are what? Children of God. Hallelujah! Come on! And if we're children, come on! Y'all read it. Y'all look at it. Look at the wall. What's it say? You are what? Heirs also and what? Fellow heirs with Christ. The Son of God. Amen? If indeed we suffer with Him, so we may also be glorified with Him. Come on, guys. What is the suffering? You start to walk this way, you'll get persecuted for it. Well, who do you think you are? Well, I just told you. Why are you asking? You obviously thought, some people have to say, you're a little full of yourself. No, I'm full of Jesus. I'm in Jesus. Amen? And He's not ashamed of me. He's not ashamed of me. Amen? He considers me family. Hallelujah. Are y'all still there? Look at verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for what? For the revealing of the sons, plural, of God. Creation itself is kind of jacked up because the sons haven't been revealed yet. Are y'all with me? Think about that. There's a groaning and longing in creation itself. Oh, that the sons of God will begin to rise up. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Whew. Now don't get nervous with this kind of talk. Because here's the thing. If true sons are revealed, it won't be about the sons. It will be about the Father. What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Amen? And it's going to be the same way. It's not going to be about a personality in a pulpit or the latest hot worship leader. It's going to be about the children of God rising up, and it's going to be noticeable what they're going to see. They're going to see Jesus. Amen? And when you see Jesus, you see Daddy. Are y'all with me? We are the body of Christ. We're all members of that body. And how can we possibly be a part of this body if we're out of synchronization in our relationship with God, who is our Father? Glory be to God. You still there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got to get on the same page with them at the altar call. Amen. So if we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, we've got to interact with the Father properly. Right? Think about it. If I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, which is what a Son of God does, then I've got to interact with the Father in a proper way. Now, a lot of people would hear this message and want to take advantage of God's mercy and grace. But Paul even addressed that in Romans. He said, the grace of God, which is God's unmerited favor given to you, was never meant to be an excuse for you to, or a license to sin and live in rebellion. But here's the thing, if you go further and you understand that God Almighty is now our daddy, there's something there. I remember for me, and I was not a perfect child. I know y'all think I was, but I didn't have a halo or anything. But you know what? For me, I did have a good dad. But I also had an honor and respect to my family. And the last thing I want to know is some of my shenanigans would get out public. Because you know what? I cared about the Bennett name. I cared about it. We walked into our son's room when he was about 13 or 14 in Ricky's room. Now, you got to understand, his uncle is his pastor, my brother Fred. I'm, you know, the associate pastor, the worship leader, the youth leader, all the hats that I wore. And so his daddy is a pastor at the church. And Ricky had written around the rim of his mirror, he said, you are a Bennett. And remember that today as you go out and go to school. And all. It was better than that, more powerful than that. But Susan saw it and kind of wept, and she thought, he understood the honor. He didn't want to do anything to shame. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I didn't want anything to get back to my dad. And it wasn't that I feared his punishment, but I deeply didn't want to hurt him. Can anybody understand that? I didn't want to hurt my parents. I didn't want mom and dad to feel like I did something shameful, right? I mean, we've lost a lot of that in culture today, but we've also lost it in the church. And that's why a lot of people will take the grace of God in vain and go live like hell as a child of God. But to understand what's missing is you don't really see him as Papa, as your good Heavenly Father. Because when you get that relationship going, you don't want to do anything to hurt his heart. Are y'all with me? This is a hard thing. This is not a legalistic thing. Amen? I'm telling you guys, if we can get this, it'll help us all walk righteously. Amen? Amen? How many of there's a fine line with that, though, isn't there? Because now you're just trying to keep your nose clean, right? Now you're just trying to stay out of trouble. You got to be careful. It can only happen with relationship. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to go long, but I need to finish this. There's a couple of points I never intended to spend as much time on. But can I finish the message? Good. I'm not waiting for your response. Anyway. I think I said it the other night at 11:20 or something like that. But God, it was powerful. It was worth waiting around for. Well, I'll tell you what God did. But the prodigal son came to his senses. He upgraded. Anybody want to upgrade? Amen. Let's go from being hired hands to being sons. Amen. Hallelujah. And in a moment of grace, he was miraculously restored. Now, the older brother, he also didn't understand sonship. Did he? He didn't understand it. And yet he was performing and obeying, right? Serving. He could put in no slaving away for you, daddy. Right? He had missed the whole point. Remember his words? Get this. For so many years, I've heard people in church say something similar to this. For so many years, I've been serving you. I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet, you've never thrown a barbecue for me. Don't raise your hand if you know somebody like that, because they could be in the room. But anyway. Beloved, this is self-righteousness. It's performance, right? Come on. It's slavery, though. That's what's so sad. It's slavery. And it always, have you noticed? It always leads us to becoming judgmental and jealous. We pray, oh Lord, bring the prodigals home. Are we really ready for them? Because there can be some people coming in here that have totally taken advantage of grace. And they're going to come home to daddy. And are we going to love them like a brother? Are we going to say, Father, that son of yours. I don't even want to sit by that guy. I know what he's been doing. Oh, don't tell me the religious spirit don't say that in churches. That's why a lot of prodigals aren't back yet. And they ain't coming back until we become the sons of God. And we love him like God loves him. Amen? Remember when he said, well, this son of yours, he went out and he wasted all that inheritance that you earned and gave to him, and he spent it on prostitutes. This son of yours. Wow. How many know when you get like that, you can get real judgmental really quick. Amen? Yeah. I am high and holy. Yeah. Wow. Here's the thing. Obedience as a slave is bondage. Amen. Hear me now. But obedience and honor as a son is life. Yes. Amen? It's life. It's righteousness and it's love. It's acceptance. The best part, you get to know what Papa's doing. You get to actually be dialed in to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. Maybe that's why we're not hearing His voice. Because sons hear the voice. Amen? Is this helping you guys? Whew. Sonship is a blessing. Whew. Isn't it an honor to be called a child of the King? Amen? And the Father heart of God is revealed so powerfully in this parable. I believe that's why we love it so much. And through Jesus' life and through Jesus' actions. And don't you love what He said? Even then, when He could have said, boy, I ought to backhand you. That smart mouth ought to knock it out of you. No, He didn't do that. He said, son. Everybody say, son. He said, you've always been with me. He honored His obedience. He said, you've always been with me. And all that I have is yours. In other words, you could have had a barbecue every Friday night if you wanted one. Amen. That's how much I love you. Hello, you have not. You have not because you ask not. And I believe what the Father said there is revealed the heart of God. The Father takes joy in giving. He's a good Father. Say amen. Amen. And He restores so fully by His grace, He'll take off every filthy garment and He will robe you in His righteousness and He will reestablish you. Let's get an upgrade. Amen. Hallelujah. I know everybody's room's born again, so I'm just saying get an upgrade. If you're not living that way as a child of God, we can experience His great love. Last passage, 1 John 4. It's power. I need to use this as we close today because it's very important. How many of you know, if we're really going to love one another, and if we're going to really love the lost with the love of Jesus, how many of you know that we have to know that we're loved? How many know that's true? Because I tell you, if you don't feel loved, and you don't see Father as Papa or Daddy as your God, if you don't understand that mercy and that love, then it's really, really hard to love other people, is it not? I want to show you the passage for that, okay? And we're going to close with this and we're going to pray. You ready? 1 John 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, what does it say next? God abides in him. Everybody look at me and wave at me if you've confessed Jesus as the Son of God and your Savior. Okay? What does it say there? God abides in you. Amen? And He in God. Now we have come to know and have believed. Everybody look at those words. Come to know and have believed. Believe what? The love which God has for us. He wants you to not only believe it, but He wants you to come to know it. Amen? Hallelujah. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Verse 17. By this. Everybody get that? Not by speaking in tongues. I'm not speaking against speaking in tongues. I'm saying not by some of the things we think, but by this love. Everybody say love. Love is what? Perfected with us. So that we may have, what? Confidence in the day of judgment because, say it, as He is, so also are we. That's the power of sonship. Amen? Where though? In this world. Say sonship. There is no fear in love. Can I tell you? Somebody can confront a spirit of fear and actually take authority over your life. But if you're not abiding in the love of God, that fear will come back. Because only the perfected love of God in you and me ultimately drives out fear. Because see, here's the thing. We start casting out this and that. The problem is, if you're not abiding in the love of God, you have a vacant heart for that fear to come right back in. Amen? And you have to get it cast out again. And again and again. Amen? And it can become worse, absolutely. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear, get this, involves what? Punishment. Man, dude, when you go back, you better keep your head down and you better just go back and be a hired hand. Right? Because then you get ready to be punished. Everybody look at me. All the punishment was put on Jesus. Hello? Hello? All the punishment was put on Jesus. You don't have to pay any penance. Just repent. Amen? And the one who fears, here it is not perfected in love. And what does the next verse say? Say it out loud, everybody together. We love. Y'all see why this is so important? If we don't receive the Father's love, we can't love like He's told us to go love this world. Amen? We just can't do it. Amen? Don't get upset with me. This is the Word of God I've been reading to you all morning. Amen? Don't come part of the way home. I'm wrapping up. Don't come halfway home. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to go to hell. Well, I don't either. And I don't want you to go to hell. That's not the point. The point is, if He loves you, the blood has been shed, the sacrifice has been made, He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen? But He also wants you to get back into the place you were destined to be as a child of God. Just come all the way home. Don't buy the lie from the devil. Amen? Try to get you into the condemnation and fear. Because when you do that, you're questioning Daddy's heart. Right? You're actually questioning Daddy's good heart. And we've got to be careful of that. Amen? Here's what I want to challenge you with. It's time for all of us to come and know. Amen? To come to believe and know. You know what it said? For I've come to believe and I know the love the Father has for us. Does anybody want to join me in that? To come to believe and know. If I ask you that God loves you, you would all say, well, I believe He loves me, right? But He wants you to know it. And that word know is to experience it. There's a big difference from just being in faith for it. And it's a whole other thing to move into the reality of it. Amen? Because that'll keep you in a dark night. Amen? That'll keep you in a bewildering moment. You'll know you're loved. Amen? Isn't that good? Y'all smile. Smile. I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers and sisters. And this relationship that we have with God as Father, can I tell you, it'll change even the way you get into the Word of God. It will. You'll look at it differently. It'll change how you come and worship among the brothers and sisters. It'll change the fellowship in your family. Amen? There will be no sibling rivalries. There will be no, in the house of God, there will be no jockeying for position, right? Worry about who's this and that. It won't be like that at all. Amen? Amen? It'll change the way you pray. You'll pray differently. Sometimes it's like we're putting something in a slot machine just hoping it's our lucky day. Hello? But it'll change the way you approach the Father in prayer. It'll change the way you worship. Because you'll have more honor and more respect for Him than ever before. Because not only is He mighty and can do anything He wants, that mighty God says He loves you and He's adopted you to be His child. Isn't that great? Y'all receive that today? This is what God wants for us. It's the love of the Father. There's a scripture that used to bother me when I first saved, because I was still highly religious. Anybody with me? I was still highly religious. It used to bother me, that scripture. I'll be honest, in Hebrews. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm saying, brother, you need to come crawling in with your face on the ground. But yeah, that's what it says, boldness. And it means with loud, bold speech. I wish Susan was here because she tells the story. Some of you may know of it. I think it was JFK, President Kennedy. I believe. Did anybody know this story? And he was sitting with his cabinet in the Oval Office. And I don't know which of the Kennedy sons it was, but he would just come barging right in. You've heard the story. He would just, what was it?
He'd just come in and play under the desk, and yeah, and all these big officials would be in there, and the kid just had rights to the whole place, you know.
And his daddy would stop and answer questions.
Yeah, he'd ask him questions. He'd stop right in the middle of a conversation with these high administration guys, and he'd answer his son. So it was pretty amazing.
How many, you know, not just any kid could do that, but daddy's kid could. Amen. A bold one. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. Glory. Okay, lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Would you lift your face to Daddy? To Papa? What would you say to him right now? Because he's listening. Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, Papa, I love you. Come on, cry out. Oh, Father, oh, hallelujah. Woo! Some of you right now, there's the spirit of adoption sweeping us right now, just to refresh that experience in your heart as children of the Most High God. Oh, come on, let it raise up right now. Let some worship and love go forward to Him.
Oh, we love you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. You are so good.
Oh, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Again, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. Smile when you say that. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Lord, today, I pray for every one of my brothers and my sisters in this house today, that the slave-servant mentality would be removed from us in the name of Jesus. That stronghold in our thinking, in our thought processes, would be torn down in the name of Jesus. And by the power of His blood, the Lord, even somebody listening to this recording this week, that the power would be broken that would hold you in that type of relationship. And that the spirit of adoption will be poured out upon your heart. That you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Say, I am no longer a slave to fear. For I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. For I am loved by my Father. I am loved by my Father. Worship Him, worship Him. Oh, just worship Him. Love on Papa, come on. Holy One, Holy One, we worship You. If you want to stand up, you can and sing. You can stay seated. If you want to come kneel down, you can do that. But before you leave today, I want you to sing this song. The single song of heart of the love of God of His. I mean, you know, His love is reckless. It's reckless just because He believed in Rick Bennett. And He chose to love me, knowing full well who I am. Anybody with me? What a reckless love, but it's a good love. And it's a great love. Let's sing it together. You know this song. Lift up your voice.